So we haven't done this in a while, but filter one, no filter, filter two, one, one,
I need this filter.
Why are you all getting to pick filters? I look like hot garbage, and I'm just like, meh. This will be fine.
Because a filter can't fix that.
Okay, that's fair.
Is this thing on?
Yeah. Welcome to another episode of the 411. We back. I'm Marcus.
Michelle.
I'm Diana.
And I'm Chris. In today's episode, we are going to talk digital citizenship. Or is it just citizenship? You know, it's a really important topic for students to stay safe in our classrooms. And we had a debate earlier whether or not, you
Let's
know,
face it,
there is even such a thing as digital citizenship anymore. Because technology is just a part of our lives. So thinking, this should be an interesting talk. And nice, yeah, can't wait to hear what the others have to say.
How effective are students?
Yeah,
when
so
in
I at some point I brought this up, and I say it in sessions a lot when talking about digital citizenship. I always end up taking this tangent where I just basically say, you know, why not just get rid of the digital part? Because, as Chris said, technology is so prevalent in our everyday, in our buildings, in our classrooms.
An exciting challenge.
And I feel like, and I, as the oldest person in this group, I feel like I remember having citizenship grades in elementary school. And so I thought back to, you know, what was that grade? What was the citizenship grade when I was in elementary school? And it was, you know, the basic things like being respectful, being punctual, you know, sort of basically how to be a good person. And so I kind of threw it out like, hey, aren't all the things that citizenship was in a school, aren't we still trying to practice all those things in a digital space? So that's kind of my two cents on it.
Yeah, so the other day Marcus mentioned this, and immediately I was like, I don't know if I agree. And I think it's because I kind of feel like saying that digital citizenship is simply an extension of citizenship is kind of dismissive of how complex digital citizenship really is. I think a lot of schools are kind of guilty of oversimplifying digital citizenship by kind of focusing on just a component of it. And we don't do a good job all the time of really getting into all of the complexities of it. And I think, you know, Marcus said that technology is prevalent in our classrooms and in our lives, and that's true. But that doesn't necessarily mean that just because it's prevalent, we really do a good job with understanding how it is different from interactions that we have face to face. I think your identity online is different, and that's not a bad thing. I think Michelle, you know, she talks a lot about how we read differently online. And instead of dismissing it and saying like, well, you know, it's part of what we do anyway, so let's just combine it all, I think we need to slow down and take a harder look at how it actually is different so that we can do a better job addressing it and kind of assuming that everyone has adopted this idea that it's part of regular citizenship. I guess dismissive is just kind of the word that comes to mind. I think we can do a better job than that.
Yeah. I don't mean to be dismissive, about, I just, in my mind, I see those pillar keystone elements of citizenship, following the rules, doing what's right, being respectful, those sorts of like general blanket terms that we would use with, you know, school citizenship. I just feel like those same things apply in digital spaces just like they do in brick and mortar spaces. Not to dismiss the intricacy of digital citizenship, because I wouldn't argue that at all. I think Diana's right on. Like, there is, it is complex, it is complicated. I don't view it as dismissive. I view it as a way to facilitate a better understanding of the digital space. If you build it into the brick and mortar space, where your teachers and students are constantly working on these things, and it's frankly more native. I mean, it's more what students are accustomed to. And so I just feel like you can package it in there, and then you can hopefully confront those digital citizenship intricacies sort of through that lens, the lens of sort of a more common understanding of what citizenship means in the brick and mortar space.
Okay, so at the risk of sounding like a curmudgeon, I guess my question for the two of you is, why should we care? Why does it matter? Diana, when you give your argument about why digital citizenship is not just an extension of citizenship, are you saying that it's important for us to make that distinction because otherwise it's too easy for key elements of digital citizenship to be lost when we wrap it up into citizenship? Is that what you're trying to say? And then Marcus, I guess on the other side, what is the downside to making that distinction that something is digital? Like, I've heard it before. Why do we need to call it 21st century teaching and learning? Why can't we just call it teaching and learning? What is lost, or what is the negative when we have to indicate something as digital or technology?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel, Michelle. I feel like if we don't distinguish it, then there are tons of things that are lost. You talk about, you know, like digital etiquette and commerce and digital health and privacy and security and like all of these really specific things that you talk about when you talk about digital citizenship as something separate from citizenship, then I think you can do a better job hitting on some of those things that might be a little bit further from what a traditional character education curriculum might look like. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, digital citizenship is hard enough to teach with everything else that we have to worry about, lack of support, time, to make sure that we're hitting some of these things. So I'm not saying it needs to be like this like year-long course that everyone goes through. It has to be integrated within our content area. But I think it's risky if we just say it's normal part of citizenship. I think a lot of it that's really important will fall through the cracks.
We barely disagree. I agree with all of that, all of what you said. And so it's just a philosophy difference. A difference in approach. I think maybe I'm trying to, and maybe being oversimplified, but trying to be practical about, you know, what's the most likely way that the intricacies of digital citizenship could potentially get confronted in a day-to-day classroom in public education? Knowing what we know, knowing what Diana just said about the challenges. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, you embed this content within larger fundamental character sorts of things. And to me, that seems like it would facilitate, an easier approach to those topics within content, within, you know, in like an elementary school, within a specials classes or technology classes, things like that. Not everybody has the staff and the personnel to be able to dedicate the kind of time it really truly would take to do it right. And I always want to try to do it right, but I also know that I feel like this, my perception would be to find a way to get baby steps towards the ideal end, the ideal outcome.
So So I've learned a lot from Michelle about how we read differently online versus how we read in print. And I feel like that's a really good parallel to what we're talking about. Reading online and reading in print, it's reading, right? But it's different. And if we ignore those differences, then we don't understand how students read differently online, then we aren't considering those differences when we're planning and designing learning experiences for our students. And then that is a missed opportunity. And so I think the way that you approach the language that you use makes a huge difference in how you implement things.
So what are some of the, because you mentioned intricacies and you keep talking about like, well, the differences between citizenship and digital citizenship. So what are some of those differences that we might miss if we're not intentional about it?
I don't know. Things like digital commerce, your digital health. I think those are things that are tenets of digital citizenship that could get lost as not part of the greater topic of citizenship.
So when you say digital health and digital commerce, you know, to me, both of those things have been around, maybe not in digital, but like, you know, when you say digital commerce, I imagine you're saying like, you know, staying safe online, avoiding scams, you know, not sending your purchase to some foreign Nigerian prince. Scams have, I would imagine, been around for the beginning of commerce. And so, you know, that is certainly something in citizenship that we would have been taught. You know, I think that to Marcus's point, they're very, very similar than how it's always been. To Diana's point, I mean, there are certain things that occur that are maybe more likely online that you might point out because it's new. But, you know, to our students, the digital world is not new per se. One sort of final thing I'll end with, you know, is, you know, when we teach digital citizenship, someone had said this about reading. If we only teach reading during reading class, they're not learning how to read. And I feel the same about digital citizenship and citizenship in general. If it's not a part of every curriculum, then they're not really learning it. It shouldn't be, let's pause school and do digital citizenship. It should, let's learn the things we're supposed to learn and integrate that in, and it's a larger part. But that's my tangent. But I guess my question then, with all of that being said, is how's it any different? How's it any different?
Well, I think you made a good point about digital commerce, but like digital health, I think that absolutely is not covered. When you think about how technology use impacts our physical, mental, and emotional well-being, even though that is something that is so ingrained in a child's life or a teenager's life, they may not even be fully aware of the differences in the impact of technology on themselves in that way. So at least when I talk about digital health, I think that is something that's pretty separate from most of our conversations around citizenship. But I definitely don't disagree with you about, you know, embedded versus kind of siloed approach to digital citizenship instruction. I think we probably all definitely agree on that.
So I'm listening to Michelle talk about digital health, and she's talking about digital health, and all I'm hearing is, sounds a lot like the whole, these kids play too many video games thing. And then there was a time where it was like, that darn talking box, that's going to be the end of society, that talking box. It sounds very reminiscent of that. Those sorts of moments in history where the technology, there was confusion and anxiety and worry and concern about how this is going to affect society as a whole, kids, children, thinking, all of the things. So, you know, playing back to, you know, the original topic, this is another reason why I feel like, you know, there again, I think that that applies. It's just another cycle of the type of thinking of concern about the technology's impact on people.
Do you not think that social media use and the transparent nature of our digital lives, likes and comparisons, you don't think that is so different than when television was introduced? I think things like that, like social media use, and video games, not just video games. It's not just about like staring at a screen, but like the conversations and the dialogue that happen between strangers on a video game. I just think it's so complex and so very specific and different than anything that we grew up with, to lump it in as, oh, this is just the same as like a fear of something that's different.
I don't think I'm going to speak for Marcus, would sit here and say it's not different. It's certainly different. But the messages, though, that come from it are no different than the messages that we learned in school and, like, you know, civics, as you would say. You know, like, you're talking about conversations with strangers, like, certainly, you know, with the stranger danger. Comparisons and, you know, likes and all of the things, you know, I remember, you know, learning about cliques and bullies. It's magnified. We always say technology is the great magnifier, right? So like, certainly it's magnified, but it's still the same conversations.
I mean, sure, some of this is going to overlap because we're still human, but I think what Marcus's point about how this sounds like it's coming from a place of fear and concern, for me, that's not what digital citizenship is at all. Digital citizenship is recognizing that our students are going to create and live in a lot of these spaces. And so here are the tools to be able to do that, because it isn't stuff that comes naturally to us. So 2 points. I think that maybe part of this is the disconnect in generation. So hear me out. If we're saying that students have grown up like this, so to them, the line between digital citizenship and citizenship is less clear, while I don't necessarily agree with that, I can see it. I can see like making that point. But to Michelle's point, that still is something that we should be talking about with them, specifically when it comes to like digital like well-being and stuff. But that's not the case for all educators. And so maybe in some way, part of my concern in being dismissive and my word and calling this just straight up citizenship is that if we don't do a good job supporting each other and understanding all of the intricacies, then a bunch of stuff is going to get lost. Not all educators grew up using all of these things. And it's more than that too. I mean, this impacts everything. And it's not just like putting the word digital in front of things that have been around for forever. I'm talking about like digital literacy and fake news and information literacy and understanding how to spot if something is credible or not. That's part of this. Commerce, exchanging goods online, selling and buying goods online. Sure, like commerce isn't new because of the internet, but there's a layer of complexity added when you move to an online space. Just like learning is different and should be designed differently when it moves to an online space. And I just think that dropping the word digital makes it easier for us to forget some of those things.
So what Diana kind of, you just talked about, remind me, there was a situation we had a student, we just went one-to-one, this was 4 or 5 years, probably 5 years ago in our schools, and we had a middle school student do some things with her computer that she shouldn't have done, taking some pictures and different things, and I'll never forget, we had one of the my fellow educator said, she should have known better than that. You know, the student got in trouble and they said, she should have known better. But that comment has always stuck with me because, like, by saying should have known, we're acknowledging that we didn't teach that student. We don't know if the student knew better or not. And so, you know, and I don't think anybody here would say digital citizenship, whether we call it citizenship or digital citizenship, is not important. It's certainly important. But I think we definitely need to be intentional in making sure whatever we call it, that we're teaching it.
Yeah, totally. Well said. I just hope that Diana will talk to me tomorrow after this conversation.
Actually, this is a really good conversation. I enjoyed it. Hopefully I changed your mind. So I guess that's a wrap. Did we not plan anything fun for this episode?
Did we plan anything fun? Marcus and I did this whole episode with beautiful mustaches.
And that's the 411. We'll see you all at the Indiana Connected Educators Conference.